Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, a residential remodeling company guided by discipline, preparation, and attention to detail. Call Mosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Reducing alcohol consumption or giving it up entirely for Dry January has become increasingly popular. It also follows a years-long trend that goes beyond New Year's resolutions. Gallup poll results from this past August showed that just 54% of Americans reported drinking alcohol. That's a record low since Gallup began tracking drinking behavior in 1939. But certainly that doesn't mean that people have given up gathering to have fun with a drink in hand. Cafe raves have become a global phenomenon covered by trade publications like Barista Magazine, journalism outlets like Time Magazine, and public radio programs like The World. And people seeking a no-alcohol brunch hours option to party or just hang out in the St. Louis region can get their live DJ'd caffeinated fix as soon as this weekend at Sweet Art Cafe and Bake Shop. It's a series called Sunday House Club. Joining me in studio to talk about it is its co-creator and organizer, Juan Beltran. Juan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So Juan, you've been organizing events and parties for a couple years now as a Lindenwood University student. You're studying marketing. When did the cafe rave light bulb, as it were, go off for you?
So the cafe light bulb idea came from just, we were somewhat tired of the normal, like the usual going out scene, like partying and stuff. And one day me and two of my buddies were sitting down in the dorm and I was like, hey, what do you guys think about, we start doing these coffee parties. I've seen them really pop off in LA, Miami, New York. I think that would be something great to bring to St. Louis. And they were like, yo, that's crazy. I've seen that in Europe, like in London. And from then on, we just ran with the idea. We reached out to Upshot Coffee, to the owner, and he was more than happy to be the first place that gave us the opportunity to host this event. And the turnout was great. People loved it. And ever since, we just decided to brand this out completely and just go with it.
Mm-hmm. For the DJs, because one of the features of these raves is that you have live DJs, we're not talking about a playlist that you just turn on and sort of let go. Did DJs also respond to the idea immediately?
I mean, the DJs were, as soon as I brought up the concept, because what we do is we have four different DJs throughout the time. So each DJ gets a 1 hour set. The DJs, as soon as I told them about the idea, and like they saw what was going on Instagram, they started reaching out. Most of them started reaching out and they were like, hey, we think this is really great what you're building here in St. Louis, especially because it's a sober environment. And that's really big for the health and wellness community, which is, the rise has been completely insane in the past few years. And the DJs loved it. They were like, hey, when can I like come play a set? I would love to, like whether it's paid or not, I would love to get involved and help you guys with this and push this forward to get more people involved.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think your friends and these DJs were so excited? I mean, was there something beyond, the sober part of it? Was it also about the time of day and Sunday that appealed to them?
I think the reason why all my friends and all DJs and everyone also that's like getting involved with this loved it, it's just because there isn't really something to do on Sundays, like on Sunday mornings. You know, most people spend their Sundays like whether in bed or prepping for the week. And with this, it came something to just do on Sundays while also, you know, doing the normal things like grabbing a coffee and then just socializing, connecting with like-minded individuals. So I think that's one of the main reasons why all my friends and everyone that's getting involved actually enjoys this so much, because everyone loves coffee. People already drink coffee in their day-to-day like routine. And us being able to bring hundreds of people together to enjoy music and also drink coffee, that's like one of the reasons why a lot of people feel like you're really connected to it, you know, because it's something that they look forward to on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. What have you found about the people who are coming? So you've mentioned, you know, friends, and you are a university student. So it's, you know, that younger set that's, you know, old enough to drink. You know, who has been coming to the raves so far? And have you noticed a trend or any changes in who's coming through the past few that you've held so far?
Yeah, we've noticed that at the beginning, it was more so like the people that the age range from 24 to like 45, 50. And the first one we held, like the audience was actually, this is going to sound crazy, but the audience was actually like a lot older. Like the audience was maybe 30 to like 45. Mm-hmm. And then once the younger crowd saw and realized what was going on Instagram, then we started seeing like, this is an all age event. I mean, like at one of the coffee parties we had a 9-year-old kid. He was with his mom. His mom was drinking coffee and he was just there like bobbing his head back and forth. But we've noticed that the younger crowd is starting to like tap into this because they've seen on Instagram what the scenery looks like, how it looks, and now like we're attracting more of a younger crowd.
Mm-hmm. I want to get back to the cafe owners because you said the first person you approached about this was the owner of Upshot Coffee, and that is in St. Charles, right?
Correct.
You said that his response was an immediate yes. In fact, he said like, F yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
Right? Why do you think there was that kind of response from the perspective of someone who has planned events in the St. Charles area?
I mean, I believe he already knew like who I was just because he's probably heard of previous events that we've held like on Main Street in St. Charles. And I believe that his response was just the F yes, because it's something positive and it was also something that could benefit his business a lot. And like in many ways, you know, while his company is getting noticed more, it's drawing more attention to his business, the boost in sales that we generate from bringing all these people together, it's something that just, it benefits him and his company. And he was like, yo, I've seen this in different cities, but nobody has ever like said anything about it in St. Louis. And I think that that's why he was like, F yeah, man, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a barrier too for coffee shop owners because they're already dealing with so much to planning this themselves and your coming in sort of fills a gap?
Yeah, like the one at Sweet Art that we're planning, they were like, hey, do you like need help with this? And I was like, no, you guys already have a huge operation. You have to run on the day-to-day basis. And what I do, what I'm really good at is just setting up everything, taking off that workload off your shoulders and just making sure that the event runs smoothly. And I handle everything, production, the DJs, the booking. I handle everything. The only thing that we really use is just the space and the name of the location to mm-hmm. bring the crowd.
We're speaking today with Juan Beltran. He is a Lindenwood University senior and also the co-creator and organizer of a series called the Sunday House Club Series, and it is a series of cafe raves or parties. So you've just mentioned Sweet Art, and I want to make sure that I give credit to my colleague, Lara Hamdan, because she was the one who hipped me to what you were doing, and she did a great story about what you all are doing last month. But the way that you found or came upon Sweet Art has to do with that coverage she did, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So I was here. I had an idea of the location, and like I kind of knew where it was, but I never actually had the chance to go check it out myself and, you know, engage with the staff and talk to them and whatnot. But after the segment that I did with Lara here, I was curious to see what Sweet Art actually looked like. And knowing that it was maybe 5 minutes away from here, I was like, I might as well stop by. You know, like it doesn't really hurt to just go check it out. I'm already down here in Midtown, I might as well go check it out. And shortly after I left here, I walked in and their staff greeted me really well. I got a coffee to test it out. I like to test out their coffee before we like do an event. And I got a coffee and I started talking with the manager. I was like, hey, is the owner here? Is there a way I can, you know, talk to the owner? I have a great idea and something that would benefit you guys. And she was like, oh, she's currently not here, but I would love to hear your idea. And as soon as I told her, she was like, yes, we would love to, but we have to run this through their owner. And she was like, we just recently opened this location here right by SLU, and we really want the younger crowd from SLU to find out about this place. And mm-hmm. she was like, this is like the perfect thing. Like, I'm so happy you came in and you decided to just use our location for your next event.
Mm-hmm. Give us a sense, Juan, of what the vibe is like. You know, it is, you know, these things are happening during brunch hours, so 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. Thinking about what is at Sweet Art, what is that space going to look like? And if people are not bringing glow sticks, what are they bringing with them?
That's crazy. The vibe is just so different. There's so much energy and so much like intimacy because the spaces are so small that it just makes people like connect even more. The music is going on. The energy is so high. It's a hard feeling to describe. It's almost like you have to come check this out yourself to be able to tell like what the vibe is. But the vibe is... It's hard for me to describe it because the energy, the people are so excited. Like the coffee's flowing. There is music going on. Everyone's dancing with their hands up. People are excited. People are talking to their friends, you know, taking videos, pictures. There's always people that come and bring their own cameras, their own everything. And they just like capture these moments because they feel like it's such a great movement that we've started here. And the vibe is insane. Like it actually excites me. Like when I'm there at the moment, just taking all of this in, I'm just like, wow, this is crazy that there's like hundreds of people that just like come to these things. And what the most important thing is that just like people are sober. They're just sipping coffee. The mm-hmm. only thing that they're drinking is caffeine.
Yeah.
And
do they seem a little bit less inhibited? Or, you know, like when you go to a club, there are, you know, people who kind of stand around and are sort of taking things in. Does the same thing happen? And do they sort of come out of their shell after a while?
Yeah, I mean, once people walk in, they'll grab a coffee. And shortly after they're done with their coffee, they go on and they just kind of like do a look around. And then out of nowhere, you just see them that like they start rocking, they start dancing, they start just like being themselves. And mm-hmm. that environment is like, that's one of the reasons why we also want to like push this so hard, because people like they can feel like themselves, you know. It's a, nobody cares about, oh, he's dancing. So, like, it's a, people don't really come to these events to judge other people. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes people like even engage with it even more, because yeah. they just come out of their shelf and they start dancing. They start, you just see the excitement on their face just by being there.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that when you brought up the idea that your friends mentioned, oh, this is happening in other places. It's happening in Europe. It's happening in Asia. Like, it's just all over. And what about that do you think is the thing that makes it work in St. Louis as well? Like, St. Louis is a very international place. We have folks who are coming from all over. Is that something that you also have thought about, the diversity of St. Louis and being able to bring people together in a sober environment like the one that you're creating?
So at first, when we started hosting these events in St. Charles, I knew that we had to tap into a way bigger crowd. And that's whenever I decided to bring this to the city. I was like, I think this has a lot of potential to bring people from every single background into this. And that's when we decided to go to Northwest Coffee Co. That's where we held the one that really just like
blew up.
We had over 638 people that walked through that day. And the reasoning why we took this to the city was really just to tap into a different audience, because St. Charles, you know, like as much as people would love it, it's kind of a drive. And once we came here to the city, we knew that there was going to be a lot of diversity and a lot of different people from different backgrounds. And that's why one of the reasons why I just came up with the idea. It was a risk, but not really a risk, because I was like, I could see people in the city, more people getting attracted to this and coming to this because they don't have to make a 30-minute drive to St. Charles. And yeah, that was one of the reasonings why we decided to bring it here, just to make it more diverse and to have people from all sorts of backgrounds join us.
Mm-hmm. This has also been a learning process for you and your co-organizers. There's something that happened minutes before that Northwest Coffee Cafe rave, before all those people showed up. Tell us about that.
This is actually so crazy. I was shaking. I don't know what to do at the moment. Like, minutes before the first DJ came on to start his set, we, like, tested up the sound earlier in the morning and everything was good. But when this DJ came on, he arrived, I greet him at the door. He's walking in. He's, like, getting ready to plug in his USB and everything. The sound wasn't working. And at that moment, I see the tons of people walking up, getting their RSVPs scanned at the door. And more people are, like, waiting, ready for the sound, for the music. And as we're there, there's just no music, no sound. And I start to, like, almost panic, because I'm like, yo, this event starts in 10, 15 minutes and there is no music. People are here for the music. And the DJ was like, hey, man, what's going on? Like, this is going to interrupt my set at the beginning. He's like, I thought you guys, like, prepped and had everything ready. And I was like, yeah, everything is good. Trust me, we'll get this sorted out before it starts. So I got in my car, went to Best Buy, bought this cable that we were missing. And by the time I got back, the sound was working. And I talked to one of my guys that was helping me organize the event. I was like, hey, what was going on? He's like, dude, it was this cable. We plugged it in the wrong place. And the CDJs weren't, like, the sound wasn't getting put out to the speakers. And I was like, wow, thank God we figured this out. But it was a hectic, like, 10 minutes that I was panicking at first because, I mean, you see hundreds of people coming to the door and they're here for the music, to be honest. Like, most people are there for the music and coffee. Mm-hmm. And I was in shock and panicking at first, but thank God that everything just
all worked out.
Exactly.
And I wanted to put a fine point on that because this is a new endeavor, not something that has been in place or in play for very long. But the fact that there has been so much interest and that you are figuring things out as you go, I think it says something that is very St. Louis in the sense that there are things that get tried out here and that they get worked out over time. Juan, do you think that this cafe rave thing, you know, is it a trend or a novelty, or can you see this developing into a lasting series?
Yes, it is going to be a lasting series. As far as right now, we don't plan on stopping anytime soon. If anything, we have huge things planned for the summer and for the spring. We have tons of collaborations with companies. We also don't just want to do the coffee raves, but we also want to include a lot of different elements to make sure that it's a really standout experience for the attendees. We're planning this thing with a wellness company here in St. Louis that we plan on adding a cold plunge, saunas, and just more things to make the experience a really standout experience for all the attendees.
Mm-hmm. And as we close, is there somewhere you would like to go next? You know, do you have a neighborhood or a general area of St. Louis in mind?
There's a few neighborhoods. We'd like to go to South City. We'd like to go to Kirkwood. We'd like to go to West County. And we'd also like to go to Florissant.
And are those places you've chosen because of what you're hearing from people who want to participate? Or are they also just areas that you have thought about as being ripe for inclusion in this?
Correct. We've picked these areas because people always recommend in the comments on our Instagram account, people are always recommending places and they tell us, like, the stories about, oh, this coffee shop is struggling, like they might have to close sooner or later. And that's why the reasoning why we pick some of these spots, because we also drive a massive boost in sales for that day. And also just people find out about the place, because most people, it depends the coffee shops, mm-hmm. but most people are not familiar with a lot of coffee shops. You know, they have, like, their go-to coffee shop and then that's it. But that's the reasoning, just to promote local businesses and to just boost their businesses overall.
Mm-hmm. Juan Beltran is the co-creator of Sunday House Club. Juan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.